Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His word.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy Father, wonderful, glorious Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, and bringing all of us together to this place to worship you in spirit and truth.
Amen.
Father, we pray, Lord, that you would be with us right now and let your presence vibrate this place, Father.
Amen.
And your anointing to come upon every one of us and upon thy word, Father.
Amen.
And we speak the truth, my Father. The truth shall set us free, Father.
Amen.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you. It's very much delighted to be here, myself and Chandrika, my wife. We are returning home from Tokyo. We were on a business trip and then combined with some travel around Japan for a couple of days. We are coming here after 4 years. Last time I was here about 4 years ago, and in between I met Brother Gang while I was transiting one day on some other going to China. Lot of things are happening around, as Brother Gang said very clearly. When I came here, we came a little early. Brother Gang said, okay, take one hour, but we keep a space about half an hour early. So I always want to come go early. I don't want to kind of miss the person when somebody is going to wait for me. I don't want him to be waiting for me. And if it is at 9:15, so I always, that was my habit even in my professional career. For meetings also I go early, or 15 minutes or half an hour early.
Amen.
I don't want to be late.
Right.
Even in spiritual terms, you know, you might meet the bus. So I always prefer to go early. Even when I travel overseas, even if I travel on a business class, we go early, earlier than I said, okay, your business class, you go on this. But I said, no, I want to go early, make sure that you catch up anything. We saw in Japan, you know, everything very punctual. The trains are very punctual. I mean, it's on time, comes. But we observed in the typhoon time, everything got messed up. Everything got late. And we saw thousands of people crisscrossing, running here, and the trains are delayed. So, you know, they lose control of things. And sometimes, you know, you don't know what happens, you know. When everything works according to time, and suddenly you lose control of the time, you know, and you have no nothing. The one of the things which I have realized is today that we are living in a very busy world. We have so many things to do, and time is something people are really unable to get hold of, you know. We live in a time where the word of God says that time shall no longer be, you know. But still the people are struggling with time. People are struggling with time. They don't know what to do, when to do, how to do, where to do. And I think even particularly the church, I mean the believers, I can see, even in our fellowship, we see so many challenges with regard to the committed believers. They have lost control of time, and as a result of that, I see so many things happening. And I think if you really look at the time is connected to even our bodies. You know, see, now, you know, when I came before 4 years ago, and now I'm a grandfather. I have a grandchild 1 year and 1 month. So many changes are taking place. And then we are kind of becoming age, and, you know, we can't reverse it. Those things, the time things that have happened past, we call it past, and we call currently present and the future. But I think, brothers and sisters, that our body, you know, is something which has significant pressure on time. You know, when God created the whole universe, the whole galaxies, the Milky Way, everything, there is so much of timing engaged in those things.
Right?
And you don't know. Sometimes I was thinking, when you think of the universe, when you think of the solar system, the timing of those, how the Earth is rotating around itself and orbiting around the sun, And all the nine planets orbiting around itself and going around and on the orbiting. And the timing of those. And apparently those things are running for millions and millions of years. And the timing is perfect. There is no iota of change in the timing. Even the slightest little change, even the moon orbiting around the earth, will have a huge impact on all of us. But when you look at the timings of those entire solar system, the universe is absolutely perfect. There is no wear and tear of those, you know, even if you are running a car, after about a year you have changed tires, you wear and tear. But there is no wear and tear of the universe. The earth is rotating around itself at a speed. All the nine planets are in the same, different speeds. But the timing is absolutely perfect. Nobody is messing around with that. The Pluto or Venus is not telling me, I'm getting late today, I'm not coming today, I'm not feeling good today. I mean, everything working according to time. But in that perfect timing, the perfect order, there's so much of energy is required for those timing to take place. In order, even if just a pan to rotate, some power has to generate. Just imagine the moon to orbit around the earth and the earth to orbit around itself and go around the sun and the biggest planet to go around itself and orbit around. So much of energy is required and the timing is required. And for millions and millions of years, these planets are running without changing the times perfectly. The perfect order is there. And I was thinking, if that perfect order can come to my body, because sometimes when we get sick, we go to a doctor and he kind of touch and check our pressure and the blood pressure, all timing, the how much it is, how fast it is going, whether you have a low, high, you know, the timing. And apparently, if the perfect timing is take place, where the heart knows or the heart pumps the blood to the liver or to the whatever the organs at the correct time, if you don't get it in the correct time, the cells die. That's exactly what happens. When you get a heart attack, means you get blocked. The cells die when it doesn't come. So I think if we can get that timing right to our bodies, in fact we can prevent the aging. You know? Do you realize that? You know, I know that I shared that last time. The world, revolutionary aspect of the world would be all around the nanotechnology and microbiology. And in Israel, now they have developed medical nanorobots. The medical nanorobots are, they would kind of go to medical nanolaboratory and they would assess whatever the condition, your heart condition or liver condition or whatever the condition, and they will inject you trillions of medical nanorobots into your body. While you are reading the book, you would, the nanorobots will get into your body, clean your body, liver, heart and everything within about 3 minutes and they disintegrate. And there is no open heart surgery, there is nothing, and you go out as a perfect man. They also said that there is a, as we age, we have this, our bones, and in the bones get more space, wider and bigger as we age. That's why we fracture when we fall, we fracture. They are going to infuse, the medical nanorobots can infuse fiber optics into those spaces, and you can climb up the 50th story of the building and jump, and you can walk as nothing else. And that's the kind of technology that would come in another 10 years down the line. They say the person who is going to live for 300 years already born now, because of the 10 years down the line, these things would be available. And in fact, there will be a lot of redundancies, not in the some of the areas we think. Surgeons will not be required. Because you go to medical enrollment, you don't have to open heart surgery. So the surgeons would be a redundant profession in future. Things like that, there will be unbelievable jobs redundancies, and that's why today there is this new area which is called artificial intelligence. And as a result of that, most of the redundancies come, and unbelievably, the redundancies come in the medical area for some of the current medical professions. And I was thinking that if the medical nanorobots can get into our bodies and do this kind of transformation physically and change, and we don't have to take tablets and all these things, we can fast our younger status. But there is something bigger than that, that God gave to us. In the day of Pentecost, when God told them, wait for the power until you are endured with power. And when they got the power, what was the power? It was the power of the Word, powered by the Spirit of God. And then, when Peter walked into the temple, there was a man crippled for 30 years, and he was looking for something from Peter, a money. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What happened? For the two legs that was like two wooden clogs, got something bigger than medical nanorobots. At that instantaneously, something bigger and great and mightier than the medical nanorobots got into that man 2000 years ago and got him revived. I was thinking about it. When I was thinking about these medical nanorobots and the impact of the medical nanorobots that is going to be revolutionary in the area of medicine in the years ahead, I was thinking, didn't we get it 2000 years ago? Didn't the Lord give it to us? There is power in the world. And that's the power that He has kept in the universe. Because the Bible says, thy word, O Lord, forever settle in heaven. And that's how the universe runs. Universe runs according to the word of God. The timing comes from the word. Bible says the sun and the moon, everything work according to that timing of the word of God. That's what the Bible says, thy word forever, O Lord, settle in heaven. Just imagine, brothers and sisters, if the word of God is settled in heaven, that means the sun works according to the word. So is the moon. So is everything in the universe which has life or which God has planted. Now, if the same word which is forever settled in heaven can get settled into my physical body, can you imagine the transformation that can take place? Now, there is thinking called the mind over matter. You know, our consciousness. I mean, many of us have many challenges in the consciousness. You know, we have our bodies, what many challenges that we have, physically, spiritually, mentally. It starts in our mind. We get defeated in the mind before we physically get defeated. We get sick physically, mentally first, and then physically takes place thereafter. That's why many times you say, be strong mentally. Sometimes you see there are people who are strong mentally, they have overcome many physical challenges. Just imagine if your mind is conscious with the absolute word and the revelation of God. how strong you would be, how strong I would be. I was always thinking about this aspect in my life and how this time aspect and how the Word of God and how to prioritize things of God in my life. I want to make sure that I don't, as I said earlier, I don't want to miss it. That's what I'm early. Everywhere I'm early. I'll never be late. That was the habit that I have got from a very early stage. And when it comes to church also, we go early, then thereafter only others come. We don't rush it. Because what happens, brothers and sisters, there are many, many of our brothers and sisters also sometimes have many challenges as a result of whatever the issues they have in their social life, economic life, and you know, whatever the family life. It spills it over to the day of the Lord as well. And then it's, you know, number of challenges. How good it would be that if everyone together at the time, and you start the whole with just so much of harmony. That's how the universe works. That's how the God's creation works. Everyone in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing in the right way. Just because of the Word of God forever settle in heaven. And if the same Word of God can get settled in myself, then you begin to do the right thing at the right time, at the right place. And that's where, brothers and sisters, and I always want to make sure that, now I'm professionally engaged in a number of business areas while serving the Lord. But my first priority is serving the Lord. That's the priority. No negotiation on that. No compromising on that. But then I am full time engaged in professional engagement. When I retired from the bank in the 2013, after 30 years, and a lot of people thought, okay, I'm retiring now, you can relax. But brothers and sisters, I must tell you that I'm much more busier than even I am retired. I have many international travels, and I have pioneered in Sri Lanka for the first time. I don't know whether you are familiar here, something like Shark Tank and Dragon's Den. There is a TV reality show where the entrepreneurs can come before a panel of investors for requesting equity. So I pioneered that, and this has become number one business program in Sri Lanka. And many countries want to replicate it. And that's something, a concept which I designed, implemented, and now running in Sri Lanka. Now, if I look at my time, I am engaged in number of different businesses, engagements. But so many people ask me, brother, you are doing this, you are doing that, you are here, you are there. How are you managing your time? But you know, brothers and sisters, I always give my time first to the things of God. And I have time every day for 1.5 hour or two spend before God. Read, study, and then get engaged in all these things. And in the process, God has also taken an opportunity to bless things that I do. And I want to encourage any one of you. I know this country, even a country like Japan, people are very busy. But if you give time to God, and God will prosper that time.
Yes.
God will never be a debtor. Right. He will ensure that you will get much more than that.
Amen.
I think that because, brothers and sisters, most important thing is to get the timing in your body right. Because sometimes we waste so much of time. Imagine when we fall sick, we waste so much of time. When we, you know, we have to spend so much of time, our whole day-to-day life come to a standstill. But imagine if God can revive, bring that, it's possible. Miracles can happen every moment, like the sister said. It could be there for you for every second. Not only once a week, not only once a month, but for every moment.
Amen.
So having said that, brothers and sisters, now we are living in a time that sometimes the church forgets what time that we are living. That's why sometimes you take things for granted.
Right.
You take things for granted and you say, okay, you again go back to kind of a... What I have seen, brothers and sisters, where there are challenges between, particularly for the church, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the true body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many challenges. Particularly when they fall back to traditional Christianity. Traditional denominational kind of engagement. Traditional religious kind of Christianity. Ritualistic kind of Christianity is creeping in. Like brother said, there are new many enormous doctrines come and kind of deceive people. So as a result of that, the original, the word, the revelation that demands some transformation within ourselves is not going to work in us. Like he says to John, the angel said, take the book and eat it. You know? Take the book, eat it. It shall be bitter in your belly and sweet in your mouth. Now, I was always telling the church, we are not the reading time Christians. We are the eating time Christians. You know, a lot of people read the Bible. You read it or you hear it. But that's once a week or, you know, 1 hour a day. But it is, we are different because we are eating people. Take the book and eat it. When you eat it, there's an experience sometimes you, there are certain things you need to do it.
Right.
Obedience, always difficult.
Right.
It's not easy.
It's bitter.
So, that's where sometimes, brothers and sisters, you bring the timing to your body. Synchronizing to your working between your organs. I, the hand, you know. Sometimes these things go all chaotic.
Right.
The synchronizing between the hands and the legs and, you know, it's really slow down. And that timing has to be brought in. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I see sometimes the Satan, in a very crafty manner, brings certain traditional Christianity which is embedded in the, not only the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Methodist, but the Pentecostals, Evangelicals, all there are their traditions, which are there, which has also part of into the end time church now, and get them bound by them. That's why the Bible says, if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. What is freedom? The freedom to know the truth. Truth of the word of God. When you hear it, it is bitter. When you eat it, it's bitter. But it transforms you. So that's why, brothers and sisters, sometimes we forget the time of the church. This church is the last church age, the Laodicean church age. As far as the timing is concerned, we are in the last parable of the parable of Matthew 13. What happens in the parable of Matthew 13? The dragnet is brought to the shore. And what happens there is no longer in the sea. When the dragnet in the sea, the fish are caught there, but nobody is visible. They are still swimming inside the net. But once you come to the shore, then your size and shapes are seen. Whether you are a crab, whether you are a prawn, whether you are, you know, what kind of fish is visible. And your shape and size is visible. And you are ready to go into the vessels. And that's the timing, brothers and sisters. We are no longer in the sea. We are in the shore. Our size and our shape is being looked at. Whether we have come to that stature, whether we have come to that measure, whether we have come to that weight, whether we have grown to that level, whether our growth has taken place, whether we have not grown to that maturity, whether we still think like children. And that's where, brothers and sisters, this timing is important for you to understand. Definitely, we are in the last judgment. Definitely, we are in the parable of Matthew 13. Last parable of Matthew 13. And if it is that they need to understand things, that is going to be relevant to you and me. There are many things that are relevant to you and me that you need to understand, which will affect your transformation and my transformation. And we need to understand what is mentioned in the Word of God. Brother Gang said just now about a brother. He asked some questions, he is not aware of. He is not reading, he is not understanding. That's what happened to many of us in our churches. When you read it, it just passed from your ear. But when you eat it, it gets into your system. It's in me, within you. And when it is within you, nobody can steal that. Remember the parable, first parable? Said comes and steals. Nobody can steal it. It's within you. You have eaten it. You are taken into your system. You are taken into the fabric of your being. And once that is done, brothers and sisters, we know that this is something very important for you and me. Because we are living in a challenge time where the traditional Christianity taking things for granted. They think it's okay. It's a religion. It's a religious order. Even the Pentecostals, even the Evangelicals, even the so-called Pentecostals, speaking in tongues, people, there's a religion. And that religious kind of spirit is crept into the end-time church as well. And I have seen that happening in our own fellowship in Sri Lanka. Many, many of the believers, in order to kind of, you know, we have been in our message, in order to kind of, you know, face some of the worldly challenges, you know, when their daughter or the son is in marriage age, they are looking for partners and they don't find the believers. So what do they do? They go to traditional church and get them married, and then they go, and you know, we have number of them who have gone out and had the marriage ceremony in the denominational system. And the wives have never come back. All together with that boy, husbands have never left our churches also. Yes. They have gone back to the denomination system. Because of these kind of things. Because they are trying. These are challenges. They say, okay, brother, when I asked one brother, he said, where can I find a bride for my son? It's not in this church. Now that's the kind of faith our people have. When Abraham was looking for a wife for Isaac, he couldn't find. But brothers and sisters, do we have a God that cannot understand our needs, our requirements, and our issues, challenges? But that's where, brothers and sisters, again, as a result of this timing, that we don't realize that we are in the last church age. We are in the Laodicean church age. And we need to be conscious of the fact that taking place. And that's why I did this series of studies. Now, I want to touch not the whole series, but a little bit from that series. The focus is on you, individually. Because there are individual things that you and I are not fully there yet. Because our bodies are still struggling to live up to the expectation of God. We have still not understood the timing of God's things. When God perfectly fulfills certain things at certain times, We have to be that place. We have to be there. We have to hear His voice. The Bible says in every church age, he that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit said. So you need to be there to hear it. You need to understand. And as I know very clearly, there are three important things that happens in our church age. The final judgment. You are familiar with this, I believe. Thessalonians. The Paul's articulation of this. The Lord Himself shall descend with a shout. Now when this happened, not in the first church age, second, third, not the sixth even, but in our church age. The shout. And as a result of the shout, what happens to the church? What happened to you? Have you heard the shout? And if you have heard the shout, what happens to you physically, spiritually, mentally? What the shout brought to you? Now, do you ever think about it? Now, we have become very traditional. Sometimes, okay, we talk about Brother Branham, we say about, do you need to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ? You are one God, and all kind of things become very traditional. But we forget what that shout brought to us. What did the shout brought us? To a certain attention, for what? Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. You understand? Didn't the shout bring that? Turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. We are the children in the last and the final church age. And our hearts have to be turned to the hearts of the fathers. Now who are the fathers? The fathers are the apostolic church age. The apostolic church age. In other words, what happens, brothers and sisters, the fulfillment of the shout has taken place. It's all over. It's finished and gone. And the ministry of the shout, the message of the seventh messenger, what has it done to us? What has it done? Have you ever questioned? What has it done to you? Have you ever think about it? Currently, well, you know, I have told the church, think about it. Now, you have got very kind of cool about it. You have forgotten about it. Think about it. What the shout has done to you. Where were you before the shout heard? When did you hear the shout? And as a result of that, what impact upon you individually? Individually. Now that's what I am talking about. Focus is on you and me. Individually, what impact the shout did to you. Because brothers and sisters, remember, some time or we were in somewhere before we came to this message. We would have been in a denomination. We would have been a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Catholic or a, you know, some system. And there is a possibility at a sooner, easiest disturbance in our life, we go back to that. Like a dog returning to vomit. How many, in our fellowship, number of them, brothers and sisters, number of them have gone back. Who have tasted this thing. Who understood this revelation. They are gone back. They are no longer with us. Our church also has shrunk. We are about 30 people in Colombo. But it is now about 15 to 18 people. Who are hunger and thirst. But the rest of them are gone into the system. Denominational system. But there are people who have heard the shout.
Right.
And say, come out of her, my people. We are the bridegroom. Go out to meet him. They have heard it. That's what the shout said. Come out of her, my people. Behold, the bridegroom, go out to meet. And they had that happened to them. But where are they? They've gone back. They've gone back. Wise virgins have become foolish virgins. Some of them. And some of them who have been in the harlot system gone, come out of it and gone back to it. Our own church, we have at least three families gone back to the harlot system. Who had sat under our ministry, heard the message mainly because of the marriages. want to give daughter or son in marriage, and they find a partner, and that family very strong, Methodist or Anglican or that, they won't allow them to come. That's the kind of thing that is happening.
Right.
And I'm believing that this is the spirit that Satan working in the church now, making people looking more into their economic and their social life than what God can do in their life. So, the important aspect is this: is realize that South is finished and that ministry has led you to another important ministry. As I said, as for the revelation, what the shout has done is turn the hearts of the children back to the apostles. And what the apostles had, and we are currently living in the apostolic revelation time. And in the apostolic revelation time is what exactly happened to apostles. You need to find out what exactly, how they were. What the revelation they had. Do I have the same revelation Paul, Peter, James, John, Jude all had? And what kind of transformation physically they went through in their life? What kind of, they never had any fear for anything. The kind of trust and dependence, reliance on the Almighty God, the boldness, the courage. Do we have that? The slightest thing, we just, give excuse and we say, okay, today weather is bad or mist is there or something is there, we will not, And things like that. We always look for excuses. But in the day of apostles, it's slightly different. Because there was a revelation that God gave to them. In the day of Pentecost, God told them, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. When he rose from the dead. Tarry till you receive. And they tarried. And they received in the day of Pentecost. What did they receive? They received the word. They received the word which was hitherto was not known to many people. The mind of God. The thoughts of God. The consciousness of God. Jesus said, I am with you now, but I shall be in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Paul said, no longer I live, but the Christ liveth in me. And he said, the life now I live by the faith of the Son of God. You understand? Not faith in the Son of God. A lot of people have faith in the Son of God. When you say faith of the Son of God, same faith Jesus had.
Right.
You understand? Now, what many of us have faith in the Son of God. That's the traditional Christianity.
Yes.
Traditional Christians have faith in the Son of God. But the true church has the faith of the Son of God. Because when Jesus lives in you, you have to only have his faith. No other faith.
Right.
No longer I live, but the Christ liveth in me. He says, the life now I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now when you have the faith of the Son of God, that's what happened to the apostles. They look like Christ. They manifested the nature and the attributes and the character of the Word and the fullness of Christ. That's what it is. Sometimes when we read the Word of God, we read it only, we don't eat it. And that's what I was telling the church, we are no longer reading people, we are eating people. And we are not faith in the Son of God, we have the faith of the Son of God. So every situation that you are faced with, you need to make sure how would Jesus, because Jesus always made sure, I mean the Father, Father in me. And the will of God comes supreme to him. God consciousness. Now when you think of the will of God, or the design of God, the thought of God. Sometimes, what God wants me to be doing this. Do we seek the will of God always? Sometimes we don't. Now that's why if those people who was looking for a partner for their daughter or a son, they need to seek the will of God. What the word of God says. What cannot God provide for us? This God who has created this whole universe, who runs the whole of the solar system so beautifully, the same God cannot meet my needs, my physical, my spiritual, my social, my economical needs. Now, I can tell you, brothers and sisters, I have experienced God's provision. God taking care of all many needs, many, many challenges. Because I waited upon the Lord and trusted in God, and God fulfilled those. And I got my children into schools without baptism certificates. I mean, when we don't have a baptism certificate, you can't get into a school. There are Christian schools, Catholic schools, Anglican schools. My children got into those schools without a baptism certificate. And it's a miraculous thing. You know, in Sri Lanka it's difficult. Government school or private school, without, if you are not a Christian, you are either Buddhist, or if you are a Christian, you are a producer. Our church doesn't issue baptism certificate. We don't have a certificate. You know, we are not a registered church. So, in our country, they are like that. In the same way, when looking for marriage partners, for my daughter, my son, and by God's grace, God, we trusted in God. And God made it possible. And I cannot see why others cannot trust and understand how God can minister unto us. And that's where, brothers and sisters, that apostolic church age is different. And I'm sure Brother Gang would have ministered unto you about many characteristics about that church, the first church. And for them to become martyrs, for them to lay their life for the word of God, what amount of things that they had in himself. Now, we don't have to be martyred. We don't have to die for the gospel. But we can't live for the gospel. That's the problem. That's the issue that we have, because many other things have crept in and bound us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, it's important to understand what would have been the apostolic revelation that they had. When the shout took place, that there was a message. The message was very clear. Come out of her, my people, be not partakers of her sins, and that ye be not receive her plagues. Now what happens to us, brothers and sisters, I have seen this happening in the fellowships, in our fellowship, and number of fellowships who were in the message in Sri Lanka. We have seen that some of the plagues of the system they were early in and came out, and they have gone back to it. So the impact of the shout, I was wondering what is the impact of the shout to them. It has not really brought that transformation. So a Christian can never come out of the fullness of the light of the word until he is separate from the mystery Babylon, both mother and the daughters and all the his doctrines. There are many doctrines connected to this harlot system. And we need to totally come out of it. Because it's so much of polluted from the first church age to the last church age. There are certain elements of it which we have been always bounded. And that's where, brothers and sisters, and I'm sure that you do really know in this church what that means. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, lo, ho, everyone that thirsteth come, yea, to the waters, water, And he that hath money, come.
No money.
Come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money that which is not bread, but your labor that which is not satisfieth? Hearken diligently let your soul delight itself in the fatness. Now there is something here. Even the book of Isaiah, prophet Isaiah mentioned the thirst that we have for God. There is a question mark I have seen many people. I'm not talking about the outside Christian world. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the people who have heard the message. I'm talking about the people who have heard the shout. There is something with regard to the thirst that they have. The relentless desire, like the psalmist said, as a heart panteth after water brooks, so my soul panteth after living God. Now, is that thirst there? Has something happened to them since we heard the shout?
Right.
Now he says, come and buy wine and milk. Now what happens, brothers and sisters, milk is important food for us. What does milk do? It enables us to grow from a child. And milk, we always, even as adults, we can consume milk. When you consume milk through butter or cheese or all the things what we eat, it enables our growth. And the word of God is always enables our growth. Our growth to the maturity. And when you hear the shout, you come out and then you begin to grow. And the wine is the Spirit of God. Wine represents the Spirit of God. And what do you buy it? This, you don't pay a price, but your price is what? Yourself. Your submission is the price. You don't bring some other money, some other offering. With the offering and the sacrifice, God doesn't discern. The obedience, submission of yourself. Yourself is the value that God wants. When you need to bring your body under the full impact of the wine and the milk, it will transform you, it will grow you. What do you do? What do we do? We, instead of spend so much of time engaging in that which is not really what God desires for you. We spend so much of our time, as he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor that which is not satisfied? Hearken diligently unto me and that which is good. Let your soul delight in that itself. What in the God's word and the Spirit. In the same book, in the same para, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways, say. For the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your thoughts. Now just imagine, brothers and sisters, your thoughts are there, your ways are there. You know, every one of us, every family, every individual has your own thoughts. Your own ways are there. Now that is conflicting sometimes with God's thoughts and God's ways. Because your ways are different, God's ways are higher. Now just imagine if God's thoughts replaces your thoughts. His consciousness is in you. And then, brothers and sisters, there is a timing synchronizing taking place in your whole system. What to do, when to do, how, for some people 24 hours is not enough. They don't need even to read the Bible, they don't have time.
Right.
You know, they don't have time to study properly.
Right.
You have to study. You can't read the Bible. Bible reading people are in the denomination. They are the denomination people, they are Bible reading people. But we are people who are eating, we are digesting, we are taking it, and like the butterfly, caterpillar, digesting into the fabric. And therefore the thoughts of God has to replace my thoughts. And then there is an order coming into your system. I'm talking about, brothers and sisters, the impact of the shout that takes place to you. What is shout brought? It brought us back to the Word, the original, the apostolic revelation, the transformation that took place about that ordinary group of people who were differently background, differently kind of skilled, differently educated, but they were brought to a same authority and power and manifested the likeness that God desired as the children of the living God. And God was proud to call them, these are my sons and my daughters. And we are looking at the same in our church. Now that's why I'm saying, I was looking at the church and I see many people who have come and heard the shout, come out of the system, and also heard, behold the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. They have heard it. They are part of the virgins and became vice virgin, and now they are gone back. Now this cannot happen. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there's a lethargy, there's a spirit that is happening right now in the end time church, in the so called our true church. But Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I cannot build his church. We are only servants, we are only mouthpieces, used by God. But the church belongs to him. He is the head of. He is the head. He is the cornerstone. And therefore, brothers and sisters, we are built on the Bible says we are built on the foundation of the apostles, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So therefore, we have to understand the revelation of the apostles. And for us to understand that, we have to properly come out. Properly go out to meet him. You know, you go out to meet him, and then you go and have a cup of tea or cigarettes or something, you know, after that. That coffee breaks are not possible. Sometimes we do that. Go out to meet him. So we go there. And after see him, like in school we say, no teacher, I want to go to the toilet and come, like that, you know, we excuse and we go for a coffee break or tea break. It's not possible. Now, because we are a people who have heard the shout, we have come out of, and we have not only come out of the harlot system, we are also going to meet the bridegroom. We are at that stage. And in the bridegroom stage, we are going to hear the voice of the archangel, which is coming from the fivefold ministry, to transform us, to bring us to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the knowledge of the Son of God. Again, another mistake, a Christian sin. Knowledge in the Son of God, knowledge of the Son of God is two different things. We have to be brought under the knowledge of the Son. Same knowledge that he had about the Father, about everything, about his plan, about the purpose. Then only we can understand the big picture. When we don't understand the big picture, we settle down for small things here and there. And our journeys are mapped based on that. We will never reach the fullness of what we want. In the same chapter, we continue, and as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, and it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So my word that goeth forth out of my mouth will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which pleases, and it shall prosper the thing which I sent it. Now again, another issue which I have seen in the church, the word of God is not prospering on individuals. But the Bible says, the my word which will go out of my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish. And it will prosper that which is sent for. Now, have you ever seen the word of God prospering in people? Now, we are talking about the physical wealth, prosperity, and you know, various things, you know, prosperity, you know, gospel also we talk about. The prosperity. The Bible talks here about, God talks about, my word will not return to me void. It will prosper. Where we prosper, it has to be prosper in you and in me. When the word of God prosper in you, how will it see? It will see the very character and the nature of Christ.
Amen.
That's the word, because He is the word. He is the word made flesh. And we are the flesh that has to be made word. So therefore, brothers and sisters, our flesh has to be reduced, the word has to be increased. Like John the Baptist said, that I may decrease, that he may increase. You know? And therefore, brothers and sisters, since we came out of the, heard the shout, how much the word of God is prospering in you. The word of God will prospering in you in this age of the voice of the archangel. In the voice of the archangel, which is he will descend with a shout, then with a voice. And we are living in that stage, and that stage is also in this final church age, the last and the seventh church age. And we have this fivefold ministry now. What does the fivefold ministry do? It will bring all of us to the stature and the measure, the fullness and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, you and I need to question and say, is it happening in me? Am I being brought to the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I being brought to the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I have the knowledge of the Son of God? Not knowledge in the Son of God. Same knowledge. Like Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The knowing. That I may know. That knowledge, do you have that? What does the knowledge mean? The knowledge means when Jesus knew everything what He has to do. He knew everything according to the will of God. He never deviated. He never kind of trying to take a coffee break or tea break. He was there at the right time at the right thing. He never. And He said, my time is not come. Even when mother wanted Him to do something. He was there at the right time, doing the right thing in the right way. Even going to the cross and giving Himself. Even at the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew exactly. He knew, he had the knowledge. Brothers and sisters, in this church age, we are supposed to be, our hearts have to be turned hearts of the apostles. We have to receive that same thing, what they had. What were the hearts of apostles? They had the word of God, they had the revelation, they had the truth, they knew that there is nothing greater than that. They had the word of God which cannot be compared with anything else. The revelation, the truth. And they were not going to sacrifice that for anything else. They were never. They were not going to sacrifice that for giving their daughter in marriage, making sure that my daughter have a husband, my son has a wife, my son has a job. They were not thinking about that first. They were thinking something else, bigger than that. But what happens to us is we are putting that before that, the other thing. And as a result of that, we are facing significant lethargy, confusion, and that results in hampering our transformation, coming to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus. That's happening. That's why, brothers and sisters, God is kind of, I believe, God is narrowing down individuals, us. We may sometimes end up in 10 people, 12 people, or 5 people. I'm not sure. I mean, always tell the church, you know. I don't know. I mean, whether it will be 5, because it's, the measurement has to take place. We are in the measuring time. Because the fish is being measured. That's the time that we are in. We are in the measuring time. We have been measured. You have been measured. I've been measured. You have been measured. And that's why you need to understand that this time is that. And therefore, brothers and sisters, you have to make sure that the word of God prosper. In the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit brought the word of God, it prospered in apostles. It brought significant prosperity into every apostle. Just imagine what happened to Paul, a murderer, who kind of a strong Pharisee, knew everything in the Torah. And when the word of God brought to him, the kind of transformation that took place in his body, physically, spiritually, mentally, that kind of transformation that took place on every apostle, every believer at that day, what kind of made it possible? It is the word that came to them. It is the word that prospered in their life individually. That is why God is focusing on you and me individually. Sometimes when you are taken as a group of people, it's important in the church. Then you get hide behind the whole fabric of the church. You know, we are the church. But God is dealing individually in every one of us. In the day of Adam, individually. Enoch, individually. Enoch walked with God, individually. So is Elijah. So is Peter, John, James, individually. So there is a focus on you and me individually now. Where the word of God is prospering exactly. How is it prospering? Which way it is prospering? Is it prospering to bring me to that measure? That stature? That weight, that size? And bring me to the knowledge that the Son of God had? You know, brothers and sisters, the apostles, when the power of God came upon them, it is not the signs and wonders. The Bible says the word of God followed, signs and wonders follow the word. So what they had the word in them fully. So therefore the word of God has to be fully blossom in you and in me to trigger that transformation that is needed to God to showcase and say, this is mine. Like Jesus was told, this is my beloved son. I am very much pleased dwelling. And that's what God is looking at now. He has sent them signs. He has sent the messengers. He has sent the shout to us. What is the impact of the shout upon us now? Has it got just died and it become another denominational kind of a ritualistic kind of thinking or teaching? And had the shout led us to the voice? What is the voice? In the apostolic revelation, what we need to be turned our hearts towards the apostolic hearts. What happened to the apostles' heart when they received the revelation? Kind of transformation that happened to their lives. Is it happening in our lives? Now, brothers and sisters, you need to question and I need to question. How much the word of God is prospering. Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I am in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The abiding in him and bringing forth that fruit. And he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. And men gather them. You know what happens? I was telling the church, this is what happened to some of our people. When you are not abiding continuously, suddenly that you are being cast off. Who's running this denominational system? It's the men who are running, not God. Whether it's a pope, whether it's a bishop, whether he's a pastor, there's a man glorified there. So what happens is men are gathering these branches which are taken out of the main vine. He says, men, gather them. I see these days, a lot of denominational Christians, denominations are getting so much of people coming to them. Sometimes who have been in our message as well. But Jesus said, if we abide in me, my words abide in you. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. The word of God abiding in us. And says, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. When the word of God abides in you, you will understand the will of God. And you will not ask various crazy things. You will ask things that God desires for your life, your complete transformation as a Christian. Amen. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we have also heard this, we have finished this parable in this age we are living in. The parable of Matthew 25. Mm-hmm. And the midnight cry is gone, finished now. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and go out to meet him. And we have heard that, and we have come to meet with the bridegroom. And we are in the bridegroom, with the bridegroom, hearing the voice through the fivefold ministry which is given to us. And I am sure that Brother Gang has many times spoken about it and written books about this aspect. And it has dwelt on this aspect. But one thing I want to tell very clearly here. The voice of the archangel, which is the apostolic revelation, which is the time that our hearts have returned to the apostolic hearts. And as a result of that, I am looking at what is happening to us. Is the voice being heard by us? Is every one of us hearing the voice of the archangel? Which is coming through the fivefold ministry? Which is speaking to us? Telling us things that we need to do? Correct things that we need to correct in our lives?
Right.
Turn away from things which we have been used to do things? Looking at your life and my life as a transformation, transformating that stature. I don't see, brothers and sisters, for some reason, that many of us are lost in somewhere, in some place, but we have not got the full impact of the fivefold ministry. But the fivefold ministry impact is not taking place in the Catholic Church. It's not taking place in the Anglican Church. It's not taking place in the traditional Pentecostal Church. If it is taking place, then they would all come to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus. It's not so. The fivefold ministry is meant for the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are hearing that, that impact has to be visible. If that impact is not visible, then you can't blame the pastor. You can't blame the church. But the focus is on you individually. You can't say, okay, pastor didn't teach this to me. He never said this to me. He never visited me. A lot of people told me, you know, Brother Chandula, you know, he doesn't visit, pray for, visit, for visiting, do visiting. You say, I always said very clearly, I have a specific ministry, and if you have a thirst and a hunger for God and His Word, then the Bible says very clearly, where the carcass is, there the eagles are. Where the true revelation is, eagles will gather to eat. It's possible if you have time to go and visit people and do that, there is no harm in it. But I don't see, brothers and sisters, a people thirst and desire and relentless thirst, hunger for the word and for getting their lives aligned with the word of God. That hunger is down there. And that hunger actually has to be in us. In this church. Not in the denominational system.
Right.
It's not they come for a morning and dance and sing and then they go on their prayer requests and answer their prosperity gospel and that sort of thing. They go. That's their life. They have nice singing, charismatic singing, speaking in tongues and, you know, nice music and all worship and that's let this go. I mean, just kind of a, you know, a ritualistic experience. But their bodies, their lives are not transformed. They are not living according to the way the Word of God is designed for them. And therefore, brothers and sisters, it's very important for us to understand that the impact of the voice taking place in our lives, the fivefold ministry. We are talking about the fivefold ministry. Because in a short while later, we are going to hear the final, the ministry. If you are not complete the status of yourself in this second stage,
right,
you are not going to go in there. You will never be part of the ministry of the seven thunders. You will not get the benefit of the ministry of the seven thunders if you are not properly fulfilled the first and the second. And the impact of the first, impact of the second has to be fully measured in impact on you. Because until you do that, you know, you are not being automatically shifted to that place. Just because you heard the Brother Branham, read the Brother Branham books or tapes or, you know, hear that and done, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, oneness and, you know, all this sort of thing. And then you, little bit here, little bit there, you know. And you are part of an end time church. And you are not going to go in automatically. You have to have the full measure of the impact of the shout in your life, individually.
Amen.
Individually, I'm telling you. Because the shout will bring you out of the harlot system, or whatever the religious system. Shout will also lead you to the bridegroom. And once you are lead you to that, and then the next stage is the voice. Voice is what is talking. Talking. Talking like you're taking the word. You are taking the little book in the hand and eating it. Bitter in your belly but sweet in your mouth. That's the impact of the transformation. Is it happening into your life, into my life? But I see many people are struggling. I'm talking about our Colombo church. Our church in Sri Lanka. I've seen many, many brothers. I have many examples. We have a number of churches, fellowships in Sri Lanka. We have church in Manna, Kandy. All are having huge problems. Huge, unbelievable. All worldly problems. All worldly issues. Again, their timing has gone. They are doing the wrong thing at the right time. They are in the wrong place at the right time. All these things seem in a total mess. And I see many people, many churches, many of the brethren who are with me for about 10, 15 years, is no longer, they have gone back to that old system. They have met the bridegroom and they have gone back for a coffee break. I know where they will end up. From the coffee break, they will go to another break, and that's the end of it. Then there will be time no longer. That's why, brothers and sisters, the full impact of the shout has taken place in your life. The full impact of the voice, which is the fivefold ministry, which is the apostolic revelation, has to take place. The word of God has to be prosper individually in you. What happens, brothers and sisters, sometimes the individual aspect I'm telling very specifically here, because in a church we get lost. We are the church. And then your individual focus is not there. But God is looking at us individually. It's a group of individuals made the church. And therefore, brothers and sisters, it's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you are a finger, whether you are a hand, whether you are a leg, you need to be connected to the head. And the head, that consciousness, the word, the supreme word of God. And that's where, brothers and sisters, he said, the word has to be prospering in you. And if you keep at the midnight, there was a cry made. And go out to meet him. And now, brothers and sisters, unfortunately, many people who were part of the wise virgins have now gone to the oil merchants who are selling the gospel. They are buying it again from them. Some of our believers also. As a father, John chapter 15 again. And as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you, continue in my love. And if you keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love. And even I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Again, brothers and sisters, Jesus is bringing us an important parallel here, saying he has kept the Father's commandments and kept in the Father's love. The Father's love is one love, the sacrificial love, the agape. And when Jesus said, if you keep my commandment, you abide in my love. And what happens, brothers and sisters, in order to abide in his love, the same love that Jesus had, sacrificial love, not the eros, philios, where there is a buyback arrangement is there. But agape is sacrificial love. So he is talking about that same thing for us. If you keep my commandment, you abide in mine. So keeping the commandments is the difficult task. Eating the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is telling from 15 to 18. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall be turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now we, with all openness, face, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now sometimes we just read the scriptures, we just bypass it. He says here, change into the same image from glory to glory. We have been changed. Our image that bring glory to God. Does our image bring glory to God? Our expression of our image? Because, brothers and sisters, very shortly, the period of the voice would be ending. And the period of the ministry of the thunders will begin. Are we ready for it? Paul says in Ephesians, how that by revelation he made known to us the mystery, as I wrote before in few words. Wherefore, when ye read and understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known to the sons of men, but it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Now Paul is talking about the revelation, what they had at that day through the word of God, and through the mystery of Christ, or the word, the revelation, what the mystery of Christ is, what the mystery of the whole of his purpose of his coming. Why did he has to come? Because we were lost. Originally we were lost. In Adam we were lost. If Adam did not sin, we would have been, we would have been there, part of his descendants. We were lost. And that's why, brothers and sisters, that the mystery has to be revealed to us. Mystery of Christ means that you and I need to have come to that stature, the fullness. And then he says, it's now revealed. Paul is talking about his knowledge. Knowledge, what he had. The mystery of Christ. And then it is revealed to the apostles and the prophets. Now this revelation, we need to have it. Why would we need to have this revelation? Because we are built on the foundations of the apostles. Jesus Christ being the holy cornerstone. And then he says, in whom all the building fitly framed together for the growth unto the holy temple in the Lord. Fitly framed together for growth unto the holy temple. And 22 says, in whom we are also builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. I think, brothers and sisters, we need to understand the purpose of our being here in these churches. And many of us don't understand. Like brother said about that particular brother, doesn't understand. There are many of us like that. Still we don't understand. Because we are not reflecting our true character, the impact that God desires for us. We are not fitly framed together yet for the habitation of God, for God to fully abide in us. We need to fully, submit and surrender ourselves and yield ourselves so that the God's word can have full impact. You know, brothers and sisters, I can tell you very clearly, God is not going to take you, make you a kind of pauper or some poor personhood. He can take care of all your needs. But that's a secondary thing. I have experience in my life. It's a secondary thing. But if you give your life fully to God, and He knows how to take care of you. He knows how to take care of every other issue, challenge that you have. But if you give yourself more to you, God, and God knows how to take care of whatever the country you live. I mean, I know there are many challenges in this country, many challenges I saw in Canada, Japan, and most of the countries and the world has so many things. In the midst of all these chaos and challenges, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulations. But we are of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And that's why we need to have the word of God fully abiding in us. So He gave us the apostles, the prophets, this fivefold ministry, which is currently operating, does He having the impact that need to take place? What does it say here? For the perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of the saints. Now what is the perfecting? I'm sure that you have this story you have heard many times. Michelangelo, when he was making the statue of David and he had finished it, and he took one pillar of stone and created that beautiful, and some of the people said, how did you do this? He said, I chipped off everything that was not David's. Cut it off. And it remains. So brothers and sisters, everything that is not of Christ needs to be chipped off. Cut off. Come to that state. There is no question of that other than that. Is there anything, can we fall short a little bit here? Can it be 50% or 60%, 100% or 99%? Can it be, brother Gang? Is it possible for us to have 99%? Will God consider if I have, I have a problem, can I have 98%? No, it's not possible. So brothers and sisters, we have to come to the fullness of that. Only the measured fish get into the vessels. So there is no negotiation on that. As far as God is concerned, He said, perfecting of the same, this ministry is given now. It's given, it's operating now. This ministry is operating and it's given. And the servants are anointed for it. Many servants are anointed for its ministry. And they are presenting it. You have to take it. I mean, they will not kind of spoon feed through your ears, your eyes and your mouth and thrust it around you. No. You have to take it. You have to take it and eat it. So, the fivefold ministry is there for perfecting of the saints. And if you consider you to be a saint, you and I need to ask, am I being perfected right now through the fivefold ministry? Secondly, am I being edifying in the body of Christ? See, we all come to the unity of faith. What is the unity of faith? Now we know faith is what? Faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. Unity of faith. Like Jesus said, I am in you, you are in me. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. It's all word. And then he says the knowledge of the Son of God. This is what I was taught. Not knowledge in the Son of God. Knowledge of the Son of God. There are a lot of people, a lot of preachers are there, a lot of, you know, many people are there who are very gifted, charismatic preachers. But, you know, I can tell you very clearly, some of them doesn't understand the knowledge of God, the Son of God. What does it mean? The knowledge, not knowledge in the Son of God. Knowledge of the Son of God. And to the measure and the stature of the Lord. When you understand the knowledge, what he had, the kind of obedience that Jesus demonstrated, he was the example. There is no other thing. That's why they were called Christians. Christ-like. Like him. Exactly every one of us like a replica of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly the commandment that God gave Adam. You multiply, replenish and multiply. I have created you in my image, in my likeness. And if you have to produce, reproduce like that. Not like going a kind and some diluted persons. Reproduce yourself fully to the same measure, same likeness. In the same way Jesus not gave us one third of his spirit. God did not give one third of his spirit. Or two thirds. He gave the fullness of his spirit. The Bible says same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is quickening your mortal body. Same spirit. One spirit. Not one third. And if the same spirit is working in you and me, then brothers and sisters, that impact has to take place. Impact of the fivefold ministry has to take place. So, do we have that coming to us? Ephesians chapter 4. That henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the same deceiving men, cunning crafty men, whereby we lie, they lie wait for them to deceive. But speak in the truth in love, they may grow up into him. And in all things which is, he is the head, even the Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted that which is every joint supplier, according to the very effective working of the measure of every part that maketh, increaseth the body unto the edifying itself. Now if you look at now Paul is giving an example of the human body, how the human body fitly, jointly fit together. Every joint is supplied, every organ is supplied adequately. Even in our body, if every organ is supplied properly, then it functions well. You know, sometimes we, you know, I think we have a group now, water. We talk about the importance of the water into our body. And see, sometimes when you don't have enough water in your body, so many sicknesses come. And in the same way, brothers and sisters, when the word of God is not adequately supplying through your fabric, your eyes will not able to see right things. Your ears will not hear able to hear right things. Your mouth will not speak the right things. Your feet will not walk to the right places. Your hands will not touch the right things. And that's, brothers and sisters, the time that we are living in. We are living in this time. The impact of the fivefold ministry has to take place fully. You and I need to make conscious of this time that we are living in. Because when the ministry of thunders come into the scene, it will be too late for us. We need to make sure now the full impact of the shout and the voice take place now in us. Not 50%, not 60%. 100%. When that happens, brothers and sisters, I can tell you that we are ready very nicely for the next. Let's pray.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you begin to minister unto us. Your word has to prosper in us, Lord.
Yes,
sir. It will not return to your void, Father. Your word is supreme, Father. Your word is sharper than the two-edged sword. It cuts us under bone and the marrow, penetrating the innermost fabric. And more than anything else, it is the discern of the thoughts and the intention of my heart and him. That's the power of the word of God. And in the same word of God, it forever settle in heaven. Lord, if that same word can settle in the fabric of my being,
yes,
it can cut us under bone and marrow and penetrate in the innermost fabric.
Yes.
And understand the thoughts and the intentions and the desires of my heart. Discerns. Correct me inside. And then transform me to match to the full expectation.
Yes.
Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Let me just say something here that might help you further understand this. You heard me say this before, maybe you have forgotten. The Bible said, have faith in God. Now, you know, when Brother Branham ministers, is have faith, only believe, have faith. Now, when we talk about this, you're talking about putting your trust in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. Have faith in God. Now that's just the beginning of seeking God for the truth. You are sick, you say, yeah, I have faith in God. But that's not going to work for you until that faith in God that is planted really into the Word of God become a revelation. And that's what the Bible says, have the faith of God. That's a whole lot different. You understand that? Have the faith of God means have the revelation of God, what God wants for you.